Total Media, along with Honda, Suzuki, Polaris, Can-Am, and KOF Jackson, are proud to present Cycle Search 2024. Cycle Search is now underway. It's twice as nice this year, with the winner receiving a YCF dirt bike, along with a Suzuki RM85 racing dirt bike. Listen daily for clues, find the key packet, and you're a winner. A special thanks to this year's sponsors, Ron's Garage and Wrecker Service and Bob's Service Center, Mark Porter GM, the Four Winds Community, and Monroe Collision. Good luck!
Ohio approved and licensed for disposal. At Ron Evans Enterprises, they specialize in sewage system installation and repair. Ron Evans has a full line of flex pipe, culverts, concrete and plastic septic tanks, sewer fittings, waterline rolls for the Home American water heaters, along with toilets, standard and ADA. It's all at Ron Evans Enterprise, LLC. Give them a call today at 1-800-537-9528 or 740-286-5930.
Would you like to work closer to home, save money on gas, and be rewarded for your hard work and attendance? Then Belicio Foods is looking for you. That's right. Belicio Foods is now hiring for multiple positions and shifts with great employee benefits, an on-site health clinic, competitive wages, and advancement opportunities. Belicio Foods is a company that truly values their employees. Apply online at beliciofoods.com/careers.
Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome to the morning show right here on Main Street TV, where we're here with our good friend Pete Wilson, who has on his red shirt, which may or may not mean something.
That's a hint. I do wear the red shirt on non-sports days sometimes, but during the football and basketball season, it is definitely a cue.
It's definitely a cue.
Right. But we'll get to that.
We will get to quite a bit of news today. Pete will be here the first half of the show, and Jeremiah will be here the second half of the show, I believe.
That's the plan.
And if you stay tuned, we also have your cycle search.
Oh, boy.
Sometime during this program.
Okay. Well, I tell you, that's a real grabber for sure, because we know what's on the line there.
That's exactly right. You've got it. So what is going on in the news? I know we kind of caught up earlier in the week, but there was so much stuff that you didn't get to.
Right.
As we were talking.
Right. And a lot of things have happened since then. And Jeremiah has been working a lot, covering some meetings, very busy time for the governmental meetings. And they have produced some news as well that a lot of people may not know. Because unlike a ball game, people don't show up for a board meeting or a council meeting, but they're important. So yeah. That's why we're here. So we'll be giving you some advanced stories on some of the things that will be in the newspaper and covering some of the things that have already been in the newspaper that we hope is good information that you should know.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to start off with a good news story that just broke officially. Actually, it was supposed to break today, but it kind of came out a little early, so we're able to get it out for sure in our Saturday paper and on the radio today and on Main Street TV right now.
Woohoo!
But remember, I'm not sure whether you were here, you might have been off that week, but we were talking about, once again, a water project in Vinton County.
Okay.
Where there isn't public water lines or whatever. We're not talking about Garrett Ridge this time. We're on the other end of the county.
Different place.
Arbaugh Road.
Yes.
Which is in the Albany area. Albany is close to Vinton County, but it's Albany area in Vinton County, eastern Vinton County, on the very on that very edge of the county. Arbaugh Road does not have public water service, meaning the water lines that come there. And they have been trying to get grant money for this because it's very expensive. You just don't do it out of the county budget, and a little private water company can't afford to do that either.
Sure.
The Leax Water Company, which is out of Meigs County, and they serve some customers in Athens County and into part of Vinton County, I think.
Okay.
They have been trying to pursue grant money as well as the Vinton County Commissioners and the Vinton County Development Office. The good news came officially from the state that the Leax Water Company and the Vinton County Commissioners will receive a grant of $431,000 that will help finish the Arbaugh Road project. Now, they already had one grant. They have not done a whole lot because it's not enough to do the whole project. With this new grant, $431,000, they will be able to serve 18 homes in eastern Vinton County.
That's now, amazing.
Right, it is, and this is a big thing. I mean, can you imagine, you know, you talk about walking in the other man's shoes. Can you imagine, you know, having a nice house, liking where you live and like that, but you don't have water lines?
It's just the things we take for granted, right?
You may not.
Water magically appears in your house.
Right. You may not be in a place where you have well water, whatever. And sometimes, you know, that can be suspect. You always have to keep testing it.
Yes.
Water vending stations and water hauling are not certainly how you want to get your water. Something that you take for granted coming out of that faucet. Taking a shower, taking a bath, or whatever.
Absolutely.
But this is because they had done planning and engineering, they'll be able to get going pretty soon. Now, you know, whenever you're dealing with government money and bids and contracts, it doesn't happen overnight, but that process can certainly begin. But $431,000 in this new grant, which is coming through the Governor's Office of Appalachia, that is a branch of the Ohio Development Department, that and the Governor's Office of Appalachia, the director is our own John Kerry.
Yes.
From Wellston. And so I'm sure he had a hand in helping make this happen. And the OVRDC, which is the regional arm of the Appalachian Regional Commission, that's where all this money is coming from. It will blend in with the $418,000 that the Leaks Water Company already had. And I think we have a couple pictures there, Dylan, from Leak, from the water company. So you can, Red was at that meeting on Tuesday when they said that it would be announced later in the week. You know, they always, you know, the official word has to come from state government, and actually it never has yet, but some locals kind of let the cat out of the bag because it was good news.
Spilled the tea.
All right. Now, these gentlemen right here standing up there talking is John Simpson. He is the manager of the Leaks Water Company. He obviously has worked hard to try to get this grant, and sitting in the background is a man by the name of Larry Barnes. Larry Barnes is one of the residents of the Arbaugh Road, and he has come to the commissioners and lobbied for a grant, public water. Whatever you guys can do to get us water, mm-hmm. please do it. And he's been very polite and patient. And for 18 to 20 years, he has come to the commissioners infrequently to lobby for water and to make sure that it remains on their radar.
You don't get the sale unless you ask, Pete.
Right. Well, that's what he has done, probably more than any other resident. But, you know, after, you know, this was announced at the commissioner's meeting, and, you know, this was private at the time, kind of private, because, you know, they wanted to let it come through the state. They posed for a picture, and we have some of the people there who deserve credit for making this project happen. Dylan, there should be another picture right there with that one right there. That is not it.
Oh, okay, I see
it. There you go.
There we go.
Okay, in the front are the commissioners. We've got to give them credit, because even though, you know, people have pushed them, you know, they can't produce the grant themselves. They can just lobby for it, say that this is a priority. And of course, that means something. On the front row, you have William Wellman, Mark Fout, and Tim Eberts, who is the Vinton County Commissioners. In the back, you have a lady who always works for projects in Vinton County, the development director, Terry Featherhoff. Then you have Larry Barnes. Then you have another Arbaugh Road resident, Patricia Wickline. Then you have John Simpson, the manager of Leaks Water Company. And then on the end is another Arbaugh Road resident, Margaret Christian. Now, this is going to serve 18 homes, Jennifer, but let me tell you how, in a bigger, broader way, this could be a good thing. Have you ever noticed that when you're traveling between Jackson and Athens, once you get to the edge of Jackson County and you're traveling all the way through Vinton County till close to Albany, there really isn't many homes or businesses along the road, even though, you know, it can be a busy road and you have routes along the way. The reason that you don't see anything is there's no water.
Okay.
There's no public water.
Makes sense.
So these lines, even though it's principally to serve 18 homes in the Arbaugh Road area, the water lines will come very close to State Route 32 and the Appalachian Highway.
Uh-huh.
And the development folks and the commissioners in Vinton County and even some of the Arbaugh Road residents feel that with the water lines this close to the highway, this may spur some development and commercial business projects.
Gotcha.
You know, maybe some convenience store right along the road there, you know, in that 20-mile gap where, you know, you don't see a whole lot. It also could spur homes, more homes being built along the highway there.
They would have to do a little bit more work with the water lines extending water service, but the infrastructure would be in place much closer to make something like this happen. So, you know, once these water lines get into the Arbaugh Road area and near the highway, you know, you could see follow-up projects, both on the business and residential side, some development happening there. So that is another
reason
why this is important. ODOT cannot let their right-of-way be used for water lines, but it's close. It's close.
Okay.
And so something may be worked out there. But that is the good news from the Vinton County Commissioners and the Leax Water Water Company.
God forbid you need gas between Wellston and Albany, because you may as well just forget it.
Well, you know,
or to use the potty.
Well, you know, it's all relative. You know, if you've traveled in the West by motor car or whatever, you know, you come into one of some of those areas and you say, next service is 97 miles or whatever, and you hope you don't get a flat tire or something in
there. Yes, no, that's so true. It is all relative. You're correct.
But that anyway, that would be a great thing if they're able to open up development in that area along the highway there, because Arbaugh Road, not on the highway, but fairly close.
Okay.
All right,
that.
So we'll see what happens there. Okay, we're going to turn to sports now because I got the red shirt on.
Yes.
Okay, first of all, we want to tell you about the Tuesday evening game. We told you about the Ironmen playing the Vikings in a tournament game and how big of a deal that was. Well, I was there, and let me tell you, it was Tuesday evening in the winter, but that place was packed.
Was it?
I mean, Vinton County about filled their side totally.
That's
awesome. It was amazing. Jackson had actually was out-attended early, but they had a late arriving crowd and they about filled their larger side over there. It was the biggest basketball crowd I've seen this year. This is the pep group of students that sits right behind the Jackson bench. And that's a great story because in the tournament, you know, the school can't do its sponsorships, the same sponsorships they do where they let students in.
Right.
But there were a couple businessmen, Dan Folks with Sheward Folks Insurance was one of them. I'm not sure he did it individually or as a business. And there was one other that I can't remember. I wish I could. Maybe I can drop that name next week when I'm on the news. But they actually bought tickets for these students so they could attend for free. And so, you know, that's a big boost to the team because they're sitting right behind the team and whatever. But anyway, the bottom line is, even though Vinton County won just 10 days ago, 67-51, the Ironmen turned the tables and won 48-28.
Yeah.
Against the Vikings. Vikings have a great team. Ironmen obviously played a great game to defeat them. It was a 36-point turnaround. So a lot of credit has to go to Jackson head coach Max Morrow, his coaching staff, and all the boys there to hold Vinton County to 28 points. But Boston Campbell, who is the lone senior on the team, had 18 points. That is Boston right there taking a shot. They did obviously a good job defending Vinton County. Vinton County did not shoot the ball nearly as well as they did. In the fourth quarter, when Vinton County extended the pressure to full court to try to, you know, get steals and turn the game around, this was a very critical factor. Jackson was able to beat the press and get some easy baskets on the other end.
Gotcha.
So a 10-point margin turned into the final 20-point margin. So it was probably the top feel-good victory for the Ironmen this year.
Oh.
I know a disappointing way for Vinton County to end the season, but the Vikings finished 17-6. Outstanding record.
That's amazing.
It is very good. They won the TVC championship, didn't lose a game in the Ohio division, and this was just announced. Those are the Vikings who were posing after they won the TVC championship. This was just announced last night. I haven't been able to do any newspaper publicity on this, but I can mention on TV. The all-TVC team came out. That's the Tri-Valley Conference.
Yeah.
And several Viking players were honored as first-team players, including Garrett Brown, who is a senior. He was named the Player of the Year
in
the TVC Ohio. Great honor for him.
Great job.
Cobra Sharp, who is a junior sharpshooter, also made all-conference. Owen Heyer also made all-conference. And Coach N.J. Kite was named the Coach of the Year in the TVC Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Ohio.
Way to go.
Some great honors there for the Vikings. Also, on Jackson's side, they will now advance in the tournament to play Warren Local tonight. That's why I have the red shirt on.
Uh-huh.
That game will be at Logan High School tonight. It will start at 6:15 p.m. tip-off time. We'll be on the air probably 20 to 25 minutes before. Dan and Pete will be there. And the Warren Local, I tell you what, as good as the Vikings are, Warren Local is considered one of the best, if not the best team in the district. So the Ironmen go out of the frying pan right into the fire as far as the quality of the opponent. Warren Local has a record of 19-3. The games they lost to were Marietta, who they beat later in the season, Parkersburg, a huge school across the river in West Virginia, who they also beat. They split during the season, and a powerhouse school out of West Virginia called Wheeling Lindsay High School.
Okay.
So Warren Local, under veteran coach Blaine Maddox, has been a force in Southeastern District basketball for some time, and that's who the Ironmen run into tonight. But after what they did against Vinton County, don't discount what that's Jackson might do.
And that's in Logan, you said?
It's at Logan High School. You can get tickets at the gate. You know, you can also, of course, go online and get tickets as well. The Ironmen, 16-7 this year, and may we remind you, one senior on the team, no juniors, all sophomores and freshmen after that. So
really?
What a season. What a season that they have had. But anyway, that game will be on WKOV 96.7 FM. Todd Compton and Red Thompson will be there on the newspaper side, and hopefully the Ironmen will Ironmen and Ironmen Nation will make a big account of themselves.
The Umpstons.
Logan.
The Umpstons. Pardon? They'll be there. The Umpstons.
Yes. All right. Okay.
The what?
Thompson, Compton. Come on, that was a good one.
The Umpstons.
Oh, he's putting the names together there. I had. That was good, Sherry.
I had to think. Compton.
I had to think what you're doing. But anyway, yes, they will be there, the both of them. So, and then also tomorrow afternoon, the Jackson Iron Ladies are at Ross Southeastern High School in a district semifinal game. Remember, our Iron Ladies are 21-2. Last Saturday, they beat Hillsboro 74-63 to win a sectional championship. And they will be playing Thornville Sheridan. You know how we talked about how good Warren Local is on the boys' side?
Yeah.
Thornville Sheridan is either second or third in the entire state of Ohio. They have won 23 games. You know how many they've lost? Nada.
Oh.
Nada. And that's who the Iron Ladies will face.
Hey, they're good, though.
Thornville Sheridan was to the state tournament several years ago. They're the team that when Vinton County, on their state run, they always ran into Thornville Sheridan. They were able to beat them the one time to get to the state.
Yep.
A couple other times, that's where they stubbed their toe.
Yep.
So it'll be a great game. The Iron Ladies are playing very well. Remember, whereas the Iron Men are a young team, the Iron Ladies are a senior-laden team.
For sure.
Four senior starters have started from the time they were freshmen. Mm-hmm. I know they want to go out big. They already have gone out big.
Yeah.
But, you know, they will step into the district semifinal tomorrow. That game is scheduled for 1:45 p.m. at Ross Southeastern High School. Not very far at all. Not quite all the way to Chillicothe. It will be on WKOV 96.7 FM. Dan Morrow and I will be there to cover that. We'll go on the air at about 1:25 p.m. And in both cases, before the in pregame for the Iron Ladies and pregame for the Iron Men, we have the coaches' show. They are very generous with their time, and Dan Morrow does a great job interviewing them ahead of time. It's a taped interview. You'll hear from Matt Walburn before the girls' game, and you'll hear from Max Morrow before the boys' game. So that's part of our pregame coverage.
Love that.
And I know that our Telegram multimedia sports expert, Brock Netter, who also writes articles for us, does some great video work. He will be there as well to cover.
Cool.
So we're covered on the radio side, on the newspaper side, and on the digital side. So,
good deal.
So anyway, we will see what happens there. So a couple big games this weekend. All right, we want to tell you about some other things that are going on. On the business side, we have a story to tell you. We meant to do this earlier in the week, and we ran out of time. But we want to wish good luck to Rick Calebs and Anne Marie Calebs, his wife. They recently purchased Brodigan Sports and Trophies in downtown Wellston.
Oh, okay.
That's the sporting goods store, you know, that has been down there
for
a number of years. They're on Ohio Avenue. And Rick Calebs, who recently was honored and retired as the EMS chief over in Athens County, he and his wife have purchased Brodigan's. And they're going to call it. I think we have a picture there. It should be on the first. Should be on the first ones I sent you there, just so people can have a look at the storefront there. Brodigan Sports and Trophies is going to be known as Caleb's LLC Sports and Trophies. And they have purchased the business from Gary Sparrow, who had it for a long time. There it is right there. See, it's got Brodigan's there. It's going to be changing. They're in transition now on the inventory and like that, but they're going to have extended hours, and they're going to have a formal opening sometime in March. We will certainly let you know that. But Rick Caleb's very well known. He and his wife, very well known Wellston residents. Rick has worked at the Jackson Police Department before. He's been the manager of Hillcrest Pool. He is one of the coaches for the OU cheerleaders over there in Athens. And he has been in the EMS and police business. I think he was on the fire department over in Wellston. I don't know whether he is now. And now, since he retired, he has been a Maine volunteer. He's brought his medical and paramedic experience to the Grace Clinic of Wellston.
That's really cool, too.
Just an all-around great guy, a great community guy, a cheerleader for Wellston and Jackson County, and now he is in business. And you can bet that he will continue that business and try to build upon it. And it's great to see this transition occurring in the Maine downtown historic business district in Wellston.
Absolutely.
So best of luck to Rick and Anne-Marie Caleb's with their transition, owning and operating the old Brodigan Sports and Trophies, and it will be Caleb's LLC Sports and Trophies. It is, as a matter of fact, now.
Sounds great.
All right. We also, since we're on business, this was an important thing within for our friends in the Holzer Health System. Gary Roach has been named the chairman of the board for the Holzer Health System board. And, of course, that is, the main person there on the board, which, this isn't a full-time position, but it is the number one position on the board, which, oversees everything.
Yeah.
And Gary is well-known, particularly in Gallia County. He has been with the board of directors with Holzer since 2009. He has an extensive history at one of the better-known insurance agencies in Gallipolis and Gallia County, the Wiseman Insurance Agency. He's been with that for 40 years. That's a family-owned insurance company. He, matter of fact, represents the third generation. Mm-hmm. So he's well-known in Gallia County, and he is stepping up after being on the board for nearly 15 years. He will now be the chairman of the board.
Wow.
So congratulations to Gary Roach, and I know that Holzer Health System feels very good about him being in this important position.
Yep.
All right. Of course, we are in the political season.
We are, definitely.
I can't remind you too much that our primary election is in March, not May this time.
That's
March.
Don't
the
forget.
19th.
It's so, presidential year.
Exactly. And so, there's been some political / candidate events to talk about that we've covered. One of them was held last Sunday at the Sixth Sense Brewing and Tap Room.
That's right.
I think you know that place.
I do know that place.
The Jackson County Democrat Party chose to have their meet and greet there.
Yep.
And they had some candidates in. And Samantha Meadows, who is running for Congress, 2nd District Congress, that's the seat that was held by Brad Winstrup.
Mm-hmm.
That is Samantha Meadows. I believe that is her when she was in Vinton County. Vinton County had a meet and greet the week before, and she was also at the Jackson County meet and greet on the 12th. But Samantha is from Ross County, originally from Scioto County, and she has made herself available. It's a very big district, and she has been at both local meet and greet events, so we want to give her credit for that. But Alex Shope covered that event last Sunday, and he has two stories about that because, there was a lot going on there. And the first story is going to be in our Saturday edition. It will cover the things that Samantha Meadows talked about, and what she feels is important and in the 2nd District and why she's running for office. She basically feels that our area is kind of a forgotten area of Ohio, and she notices that there's a lot of needs here. The poverty rates are higher than they are in other parts of the state, and she wants to do what she can. That is Samantha Meadows at Sixth Sense, talking at Sixth Sense. So we will have a story on that. Louise Jameson, who's running for the Ohio Supreme Court, she was also there as well, and they also had some other union reps there that were talking about the union, talking about the union side of how they view the primary election and what's important in the 2024 mm-hmm. election for them. So that story on Samantha Meadows will be in our Saturday paper. On the other side of the ballot, Larry Kidd is also running for 2nd District Congress, and he is on the Republican side. There are 10 candidates, only 10,
only 10
running for running for the nomination there. They all want to to replace Brad Winstrup, who is the current congressman. He announced late last year that he would not be running for re-election, and so since then, you've had all these Republican candidates coming out. It normally is a strong Republican district. So if you can get the nomination, you know, based on history, the odds are on your side to win in the general election, although Samantha Meadows is trying to change that.
Right.
But Larry Kidd is from Jackson County. Uh-huh. Of course, you know, he is based there at the Office Commons there on Huron Street, Huron and Burlington. But he has made several appearances locally. It's a big district, and he's tried to get around too. He was at a recent meeting of the Vinton County Commissioners. I think there he is right there. He's standing behind the Vinton County Commissioners there. You know, he talked about the things that are important to him. You have William Wellman, Mark Fout, and Tim Eberts. We saw them earlier on the LEAC story. They're sitting there at the office. They're sitting there at their desk, and Larry is sitting behind. Larry then went over to Mamarini's, which is right across the street from the courthouse, and kind of mixed with the people there as well. And Red Thompson, I think, followed him across the street. And anyway, we had
There's food there, isn't there? Right, of course Red was going to go.
Right. We already had that story, but he was there. And then Larry was also, Jen, at the Oak Hill Chamber of Commerce meeting that was held last Monday.
Okay.
And we'll have coverage of that as well. We've got an overall story about the chamber meeting, including Larry Kidd's remarks there. But Larry Kidd has made it no secret that he is a supporter of President Trump and his reelection as a potential Republican nominee for president in this election cycle. And he has talked extensively about the need to secure the southern border. That has been a big issue, of course, in national politics, particularly on the Republican side. And that was one of the things he has talked about when he has made his local stops to talk with commissioners and the chamber. So as much as possible, Jennifer, we can't cover all of it. You know, when candidates make local stops here, we want to give them credit for being around and talking about what they think is important to them so people can help make their decisions about who they want to vote for. And so we'll be having more pre-election, pre-primary coverage coming in the days up to that March 19th election. And do remember that early and absentee voting has already begun.
I can't believe that.
It always begins 30 days out from the election, and so the first day of early voting was actually Wednesday, the 21st, just a couple days ago. The last day to register was the 20th, which was exactly 30 days out from the primary. And so on the early voting, you know, you can go to the Jackson County Board of Elections or the Vinton County Board of Elections, and the schedule is 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So I'm not sure when those two offices open, but they usually close at 4 or 4:30, so you can see the business days extended a little bit. And as we get closer to the election, they'll even be open some on the weekends.
Yes.
And in the evenings.
You do not have an excuse not to vote.
Right.
No way you have an excuse.
We have printed the schedule, and we will continue to print the schedule on the early voting. So if that's a convenience for you, that's the difference in whether you vote or you don't vote, then, you know, we want you to know all about that. That's all 88 counties, and that includes the Jackson County Board of Elections and the Vinton County Board of Elections. You can also vote absentee as well. You can get that ballot online. You can get it, you know, at the Boards of Elections and then turn it back in no later than Election Day. And you can vote that way as well if that's what works for you. Okay, a couple other things before we switch and get Jeremiah here in the news chair. We want to congratulate, these are just the young ladies, but they deserve credit, the Jackson Middle School cheerleaders.
Yay!
For the second time.
Hey, we get a cheer for them, right?
Yes, we can. We should. For the second time in their competitive season, they have won state championships. The latest one came at Canton McKinley High School. They won a state championship on January 21st. This one was on the 18th last Sunday at Ashland University in Ashland, Ohio. And they finished in first place in both what they call the game day and traditional divisions. The game day, I'm told, is where they do the type of routines that they do during an actual game. They simulate that.
Yeah.
And traditional is overall cheering, you know. So they won first place in both categories. And
That's
I need to repeat that this is state-level competition. There's schools coming in. I think they do them by enrollment size or whatever. And these girls in their division won two first places where they can call themselves state champions. The coaches are Tiffany Fout and Toria Brown.
Yep.
They kind of share the duties. I don't know about Tiffany, but I know Toria was a cheerleader in her time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great that they are spending their time, you know, training these kids. And then, you know, it's kind of like the farm system for our varsity competition cheerleaders who have also done very well in recent years. But let's drop a few names. The eighth grade members are Kinsley Leach, Abriel Barnett, Brindley Smalley, Izzy Swisher, Braylee Sturgill, Dacey Howard, Jada Montgomery, Riley Denny, Addison Daly, and Presley Leach. The seventh graders are Caden Sirian, Katrin Stockmeister, Ellie Parker, Adolin Brenner, Rylan Spears, and Aubrey Stepp. So congratulations, ladies. We'll have a story and photo in our Saturday paper.
That's awesome. Good for them.
All right, a couple other things real quickly. Want to pay tribute to a gentleman who we lost this week to death. John Michael Jackson. John Jackson from Wellston. I think you've lived around here in Jackson County enough to know the good he's done.
Yes.
That is the obituary picture that we are running in the paper of John. He died last Sunday, and I knew him through work-related reasons. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of good things in Wellston. He was the recreation director for 6 years. That's before, you know, Make Wellston Beautiful came out and, you know, did all the work they're doing. When it was a city position, he also was the he also was a volleyball official for 25 years and made the Volleyball Officials Hall of Fame. That's how good he was at that.
Super cool.
And how I knew him the best was he was the chairman of the Boy Scout 57 Troop Spaghetti Dinner and Auction. They always have that in March.
That little old thing they have,
Well, I tell you what, he volunteered his time, and he worked with the newspaper and the radio very carefully to get a lot of publicity, and that was one of the top, and still is, one of the top charity events in the entire county in the calendar year. And John just made that a special event. It was fun to attend, even though the idea was to raise money for the Scouts. You know, he had celebrities there. He had spaghetti eating contest, pie eating contest.
Remember that,
a great auction where I think every business in the county must have contributed something to it. So a lot of bargain hunters were there as well.
Yes.
And just a lot of people wanted to support the Scouts. And so we have a tribute piece to John Michael Jackson that is going in our Saturday paper. All right, want to remind you also that the Red Velvet Cake War is being presented at the Marquet Cultural Arts Center.
Yes, it is.
I have on good authority that it is extremely funny, and we know with the people that are in it, it's going to be well acted. But the times for that, 7 p.m. this evening, 7 p.m. Saturday evening, and then 2 p.m.
So funny.
On Sunday afternoon. That's a scene from one of the rehearsals there. So all these things are happening. The Holzer is having a Treat Your Heart Day because it's Heart Month. That's going to take place at the Holzer Leadership and Innovation Institute. That's on the Gallipolis campus.
Yep.
That's going to be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There will be cardiac testimonials, door prizes, food trucks, heart health information, vendor booth shopping, and much more. So that'll be a nice event for sure. And, of course, we want to remind you that Cycle Search is going on. You hear clues daily on all four of our radio stations, and at stake there are two racing bikes with a combined value of $6,500, a Suzuki RM85 racing bike, and a YCF50 kids bike. And so thank you to the radio and everybody involved in that, and of course, the suppliers of the two motorbikes, Honda, Suzuki, Polaris, Can-Am of Jackson.
That's exactly right.
All right.
All right. Well,
I'll get out of the
Pete.
Way and let Jeremiah in because, you know, as the editor, I know he has been working his little tail off covering a lot of meetings here and got a lot of good news, some of which you've seen in the paper. A lot of it is yet to come, and he will give you a preview and a review.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, while they're switching out here, thanks, Pete. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Hi, Jeremiah.
Hi, Jen.
Let's do the cycle search clue.
Go for it.
But before we do that, we have to have a message from our friends at Vinton County National Bank, and then we'll be back.
At Vinton County National Bank, we believe in supporting the areas where we live and work. Now, we'd like to honor those who also serve our communities. Our new Community Champions account is especially for first responders, veterans, active military, and anyone employed in the fields of healthcare or education. This account offers rewards, discounts, and other benefits to those who give so much to others. Vinton County National Bank, rewarding those who serve.
All right, well, we are back. Don't forget how awesome our friends are at Vinton County National Bank. I feel like I'm there every single day of my life for one reason or another. Hey, cycle search clue. Cycle you want to do that for today?
Sure.
All right, and make sure that you pay attention to all of these clues because they all kind of add up and you have to pay attention to all of them. All right.
So make sure you get your pen and paper. Write it down.
That's right, and that's what the clue says. Hold your notepad and pen very near. Each day, the words will make it more clear. Keep the dial tuned and stay listening in. After the weekend, we'll have more clues again. Anything in there?
Mm. I'm going to say that there's nothing there on that one.
I don't know. You never know.
Maybe. I don't know. To me, if I heard that on the radio and was playing, I'd just be like, eh. Well, write it down. Maybe it'll come and play later.
Write it down. And that's the whole thing is, and that's why you do need to like keep a diary of all these clues because you may have to refer to something way back when.
It may say, you know, later down the road, they may be like, you know, remember clue number two?
Yeah.
You know, the fourth word will help you with this one or something.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, always.
You just always have to pay attention.
Yeah, you never know.
There you go. So we haven't seen you in a while, Jeremiah. How you been doing?
Okay. I know you, I think last time I seen you was before your cruise.
Yeah.
So how'd that go?
Good. It was warm.
It was
you guys got snow and I was hot. So.
Yeah, and then we had some snow while you were gone. And
I can't complain about that.
I will say cruise, that's probably one of the best vacations I've ever had.
Yeah.
I took one in 2018 on Carnival and went down through like Cuba and Mexico. And
awesome.
Funnest cruise. I remember just eating like to my heart's content.
Yeah.
Just, you could just eat all the
time. All the food. And
ice cream. I probably had my weight in ice cream. Like every time you see me, I had an ice cream in my hand. So
that's okay. I don't ever hardly do that, but I had two ice cream cones on the cruise.
I had more than that week that I was gone.
So, it's all right. It's vacation, right? Vacation, yes. Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
Anyhow, Pete said I had some news to come in and talk about. So I'm going to go through some stuff that I've covered recently in the last week and this week.
Yeah, give us all the dirt, Jeremy.
Yeah, so we had a little bit of crime news a couple days ago.
Uh-oh.
There wasn't like a Nixle sent out or anything, but if you were in the downtown area near your business, you may have seen some law enforcement officers patrolling the area.
Some police activity, shall we say.
Police activity. So there were several law enforcement agencies involved in the search and capture of an Oak Hill man. This was on Wednesday afternoon, February 21st, and we got the individual's photo. It's 39-year-old Jeffrey S. Howe Jr. of Oak Hill, and for those watching on the TV, there's his photo. He was being released early from jail to go to residential rehab, and when he was being released, he decided to flee.
The only person, so he got out of jail and ran.
He got out of jail, but he was on probation. So he had to go to residential rehab, and instead of going to rehab, he decided to take off.
Alrighty.
So they, probation department told me that he was walking out the front door of the Jackson County Sheriff's Office to be picked up by rehab personnel when he decided to run. He was last seen in the area of Portsmouth Street and Main Street near your guys' alley up there, Sixth Sense Marine and Tap Room. It said when he fled, he was in immediate violation of his probation.
Yeah.
So because of that, the Jackson Police Department began searching for Howe in that downtown area. However, he was not immediately located. And at that time, he was described as wearing a camo sweatshirt and jeans, which,
Okay. Well, then how could you find him?
That's what a lot of people said on Facebook when I made the post. They're like, that's half of Jackson County. So
Okay, now I feel like I need to look at my security cameras.
You might look back and you may see him. So
okay.
According to the Jackson County Municipal Court Probation Department, Howe had a probation revocation hearing on January 23rd. He had been in jail for about 40 days, and he was in jail for a probation violation because he failed to report, he failed to do community service, he failed to abstain from illicit substances, and failed to complete residential treatment as a condition of his probation. So that's why he was in jail, and now he's back in jail. We'll
get to
that. For the same thing, basically. Okay. It says a warrant was issued for Howe because of the new probation violation of him taking off, you know, when he was supposed to go to rehab. And the Jackson County Sheriff's Office deputies, along with probation officers, visited his residence. This is out in Jefferson Township. It's southwest of the village of Oak Hill. It's, it was 101 Simmering Ridge Road. I think I'm saying that right. Simmering Ridge Road. And when law enforcement and probation officers arrived out there, Howe and a female, it was 40-year-old Crystal Crabtree, who was also on probation, had multiple warrants for her arrest.
Both
fled from the home. And Crabtree was taken in custody quickly, but Howe made it into a wooded area behind the residence. Authorities chased him. At that time, he was just wearing red shorts, no shirt, or shoes, running through a wooded area there behind his residence. And after several minutes of chase, a deputy caught him and took him into custody just after 2 p.m. Wednesday afternoon.
Wow.
The others out there assisting, you had the Ohio State Highway Patrol, and then the Oak Hill Police Department, I guess, was en route to use their drone if it was needed, if he got too far into the woods there.
How did he get all the way back to Oak Hill?
Well, so authorities believe Howe was able to flee the Jackson area so quickly because he got a ride out of town to his residence. So
I would say so. I mean, he didn't run back to Oak Hill.
Right. Someone that I talked to, you know, law enforcement wise, said that they believe that, you know, he had somebody pick him up but failed to tell them, hey, I'm supposed to go to rehab. And
I'm out of jail.
I'm out of jail.
I got you.
Went on home. And so Howe is in jail on the new probation violation, and the BOGO there, Crabtree, is also on jail on her many warrants.
Okay.
And I guess the last time they picked up the Crabtree individual, the time before, I guess she had like 13 warrants for her arrest. So she had multiple this time. Not sure what all her charges are or anything like that. That was just kind of a bonus, I guess, of sorts there.
Wow.
We're going to stay on the same little crime beat here. So we talked last year, I think, in the fall about an individual by the name of, I think it was Brandon Dixon, 19, of New Boston. He was from Oak Hill. And he had been indicted on charges of possessing a fentanyl-related compound and also trafficking a fentanyl-related compound. And then there was the major drug offense specifications on each count. And it was in September last year, he had accepted a plea deal, and his second count and the two drug specifications were dismissed. But the first count, you know, he was found guilty on, or he pled guilty to.
Okay.
And he was sentenced to 6 to 9 years in prison. Well, the fiance was also involved in this, so it was kind of like a dual pickup type deal. It was Hannah L. Altman, 21, of Portsmouth, formerly of Oak Hill. We have her mugshot there for those watching on TV. She was sentenced, she was sentenced last month to a prison term of 5 to 7.5 years. She'd accepted a plea deal in September this past year as well. And everything I just went over with Dixon was basically the same rundown for her.
Okay.
They had dismissed that second charge and the two specifications. She was just pled guilty to the first charge. But she got 5 to 7.5 years in prison. And all that transpired back in... Hers transpired back, so all this started in September of 2022 is when it started, and they had done a home visit because Altman and Dixon were on probation.
Okay.
And when they come to the residence, they ended up finding some drugs and
That's a no-no.
Yeah, some weapons and different things of that sort. And because of that probation violation, it ended up leading to some other stuff being found too. But just wanted to kind of give a little update on that since we had reported on it.
Interesting.
So another one I wanted to touch on here. Same crime thing here. This is another sentencing. A Jackson woman was sentenced to 6 to 9 years in prison in early January after she pled guilty to theft of property or services from local company Brentmar Construction. You may remember this from sometime last year, the year before last. I think it was last year, if I recall. We had reported some on this. And it was Rebecca Ann Davis, I believe we got her mugshot, 60 of Jackson. She had been indicted by the grand jury, and it was a second degree count of theft and a third degree count of tampering with records. Davis had originally pled guilty and withdrew her, or she had originally not pled guilty, withdrew her guilty plea and pled guilty. And she ultimately accepted a plea deal that same month and was sentenced in January this year. The criminal case against Davis stated that she had committed property theft or services valued at $750,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual amount was, so she has to do a restitution of $937,000.
That's a lot of money.
To Brentmar Construction. Court records. And this was between the dates of June 1st, 2014 to July 1st, 2021. And Brentmar Construction was named the victim. It says court records show that Davis, who was in a position of trust, committed these offenses over a period of 14 years, stealing $5,000 to $10,000 per month. She committed over 700 acts while committing these offenses to enrich herself at the expense of the victim. You know, she was sentenced to 6 to 9 years in prison, will be subject to mandatory 18 months up to a maximum of 3 years post-release control, and she was ordered to pay the restitution of $937,000, and that she has submitted a check in the amount of $54,707.19 to the prosecuting attorney as a payment towards the restitution. So she still has a balance of, this was as of, you know, when the court stuff happened, a balance of $882,292.81.
Oof.
And the adult parole authority will be monitoring those payments of restitution. So there's a little bit on the criminal front there.
Yeah.
This past week was a busy one. I covered 4 meetings this past week.
Oh, wow.
And among those meetings was a very busy Jackson school board meeting. I think I wrote like, I don't know, 8 or 9 stories from that meeting.
Just one meeting?
One meeting.
Whoa.
Had a ton of stories come out of it. A lot of it was follow-up stuff from where Pete had written something at a previous meeting maybe last year. And some stuff that I had written that we followed up on. One of the things that I think Pete had reported on that I wanted to touch on is about the construction project involving a concession stand and restroom facility at the Jackson Middle School Stadium.
Yes.
Well, that project's hit a few snags, Jen.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Everyone was so excited.
Yeah, a few snags. Nothing too serious. But what's up there is kind of the current one that's down there at the facility now.
Which I feel like is the same one that's been there since I was in school at least.
Yeah, they said it had been there like, I don't know, like 60 years or something like that, if I remember. And so I've had a few snags to get before getting the project off the ground. And they discussed this at that board meeting. It was on February 13th. And Phil Howard said that the school district had run into a few snags, but he didn't think it was anything that was going to keep the project from moving forward. He said that it could change the date of getting it finished. However, they hope that it will stay on track. So Jackson School Board President Brian Moore, who is the owner and operator of Brian Moore Construction, is providing all the needed labor at no cost.
Yes.
So Brian talked about the project and the snags that they had run into. He said everything was running good until they found out that's a flood zone down there, where that is.
No.
Yes, so that's a flood zone.
What?
And he said that Who would have thought? He said he's lived here 55 years and he's never seen water get flooded.
I don't remember that ever.
Yeah, but according to the mapping, that's a flood zone there.
Okay.
So that's one of the snags. Another snag is that the school district doesn't own as much property there as they thought. So after looking at the property lines, the fence and sidewalk are not on the school's property. I guess it's like right away for the because of the state highway
gotcha.
That runs through there, you know, 139 and all that is like
interesting.
So that's kind of another snag. So on the first snag there on the flooding, you know, that'll have to be taken to the state, he said, and he's hoping. Let me see here. He's hoping that they will. You know, because when it's a flood zone, you have to build up so high off the ground. And he said that he's hoping that it's not a foot off the ground, because if it is, then that leads to other issues. You won't be able to do the handicap assessment bathrooms.
Exactly.
And everything.
Which was kind of part of the point.
Yeah, because that's going to be a concession stand, storage, and bathrooms there, because there's no bathrooms at the facility.
Correct.
I think there's maybe porta potties. I'm not sure.
I think there are. And then the only bathrooms, if I remember from high school, is when over across the way on the visitor's side.
Okay. So that's a snag on that. And then on the zoning side about the property line, he said, so the City of Jackson Board of Zoning Appeals, they're going to be meeting on Monday, February 26th at 6:30 p.m. in the Jackson City Council Chambers. The purpose of the meeting is to consider a request for a variance by the Jackson City Schools for a zero setback along Huron Street and Vaughn Street at the middle school football field. Brian said what that'll do is allow them to build right up to the boundary, the property's boundary, but not exceed it.
Instead of leaving space in between. Yeah, that makes
way,
sense.
Okay. So he's hoping to get a zero that way that they can build that there. But
okay.
He said worst case scenario, if you know the flooding issue, they got to build a foot. He said that they'll have to move it to the other side of the football field. He said that down there is not a flood zone.
Okay. So they may just have to drop back and punt.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
So I guess they would leave that there for like ticketing, and they'd leave the same gate there for the ticketing, but the concession stand and restroom would be moved down on the other side from where that is, because they have plenty of property down there and it's not in a flood zone, so they wouldn't have any issues.
Okay.
So that's kind of a little update on that. A little side note on that. We got a photo for this. The Jackson High School class of 1960 at this meeting presented a check to the school board for that project down there. And you've got Brian Moore there, who's president of the school board, who's going to be doing the project. There is Sue Barnett and Kurt Wiggins, both representatives from the class of 1960. They presented a check in the amount of $1,500 to be used towards that down there.
Wow.
And the board was very gracious in accepting that. So that's just a little side note down there. We're almost out of time. I had several other items here, but maybe we can get into those next week. Let me see if there was something else. There was another donation done there at the school board meeting, too, and I think we have a picture of that one as well. So the Jackson Ironman Boys Summer Basketball Camp received a very generous donation during that Tuesday, February 13th meeting. During the presentation portion, Kurt Wiggins, who is on the far right there, presented a check on behalf of Kay Gillon in memory of her late husband and local Kiwanis Club member, Jim Gillon. And they presented this check to the, you have there, that is Jackson Athletic Director Waylon Massey, Jackson Coach Max Morrow, and then Kurt Wiggins, who is a representative from the Kiwanis Club. The check was for $10,000, and it will be used to sponsor the Ironman Boys Summer Basketball Camp for several years. Jim, according to Wiggins, was a past president of the Kiwanis Club, and that is why Ms. Gillen asked the Kiwanis Club to form a committee to help decide where to make a donation in his memory. So there was a very generous donation to that Jackson Athletic summer
very cool
basketball camp there. So just wanted to mention that. There's several more things we could talk about. Bunch of updates that we had gone over. Some of this will be in future editions of the Telegram. So don't want to get into them because I'm not going to be able to finish it because we're out of time. Some of the topics we can throw out there, you can look for it in future edition of the Telegram.
Yeah.
I don't know if we may have had this on the radio, but we have a solar eclipse coming up in
we
April.
We do. Super cool.
And they had announced at that school board meeting that because of the solar eclipse, they'll be doing a 2-hour early dismissal that day. That is April 8th.
Yeah, a lot of the schools all over the state are closing.
Especially in the totality areas.
The solar eclipse is like the one where you have to have the special glasses and stuff to be outside.
Yeah.
And it turns like dark for a minute.
Yep.
It's like crazy.
You can look for a story on that, and it kind of talks about the eclipse. We had talked in the past about traffic woes at the high school. There was some discussion about the Burlington Road being open for entrance exit. So there's a story on that.
Okay.
Another story, the schools have installed vape detectors in the restrooms.
Oh!
Story about that. It's very, very interesting piece of technology they have installed.
I'll bet.
Yeah. So, in addition to detecting the vape, it can also detect sounds and other stuff like that.
Okay.
So, they said it's
no
working.
No
chicanery
definitely in
working.
The bathrooms.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Well, and fighting or anything like that. They can pick up different stuff. So, there's that. I got an update on the YMCA tennis court. He talked briefly about that at the meeting. So we have a follow-up. If you recall, I was on and we talked about how the Y had sent a letter asking for repairs down there. So we have an update where the school district has made some repairs down there. And Mr. Howard talked about what had been done with the warm days that we had a few weeks ago. The school district was able to get out and do a few repairs.
Okay.
Also look for, I think, I can't remember if this is in or if maybe Pete's talked about it, but the Wilson Fitness facility is upright.
Okay.
I can't remember if he's been on and talked about this or not, but we'll have a story about that if it hasn't already been in. It may have already been in. And the world's largest acorn, it's under construction.
Yay!
So look for a story for that in a future edition. The bottom half of the acorn has been constructed.
Oh, its rear end has been constructed.
Yes. And another thing to look forward is our third and final part of a series from the Jackson County Economic Development Partnership. It's the appreciation reception that they had in January.
Yes.
There was so much that happened that I wrote one long story, and then it was so long, it was like thousands of words, and had a bunch of pictures that I decided to bust it up into three stories.
Okay.
Two of the three have already run, and a third will be running here in the near future.
Very good. So. All right, a couple of housekeeping things. Don't forget Cub Pack 5058 Chicken Noodle Dinner and Cake Auction
this weekend.
Tomorrow. And so you can pick up, you can go to the Wellston Hope Methodist Church Fellowship Hall, 219 East 1st Street in Wellston. Get that dinner for only $8. It's between 4 and 6:30. Chicken noodles, mashed potatoes, green beans, gym beverages, and water. Desserts only $1. And if you want it delivered in the city of Wellston, call 978-7489. Also, don't forget about the awesome play going on at the Marquee this weekend, Cupcake Wars, and it should be a hoot. So it'll be tonight, tomorrow night, and then Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
So
don't forget about that.
Yep. So there you go. A few things going on this weekend as well. So we have to get out of here for the day. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for spending your morning with us. And go local teams that are still in the tournament. We're rooting for you. And we'll see you right back here on Monday. Thank you for tuning in. Bye.
This just in.
The Telegram News has a new website.
TheTelegramNews.com.
Same dedicated coverage.
Same trustworthy news with a brand new look.
Covering Jackson and Benton County and surrounding areas.
Locally owned and operated, TheTelegramNews.com has its finger on the pulse of the community.
Stay up to date on local events, high school sports, and breaking news.
TheTelegramNews.com.
Subscribe today at TheTelegramNews.com.
Check it out.